Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said every sermon should change the person in the pew, or it should be changed by the preacher in the pulpit. We're happy to have this opportunity of being with you today and talking to you about the Word of God. We believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God, and therefore we want to learn what the Word of God says so that we might be obedient to our Father in heaven. We return now to our study, and we're talking about applying and ascertaining biblical authority. It is our affirmation that the Bible is the standard of right and wrong, and that the Word of God is that which will judge us in the last day. Therefore, we need to know how to use the Bible and how to apply it to our everyday walk of life. You remember, of course, that the Bible teaches very plainly that it must be properly handled. We've looked at 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, which says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Some of the other renderings of that would simply be properly handling the word of truth. In other words, the Bible must be handled properly or rightly. Now, could you imagine a person who wants to learn about U.S. history getting a history book and opening the book and reading the first chapter and then skipping to the middle of the book and reading the middle chapter and then going to the end of the book and reading the last chapter in the book and saying, "Well, I have a proper understanding of United States history." Well, obviously, you're going to get into confusion. Could you imagine a person reading about the Revolutionary War one day, the Civil War the next day, and then maybe World War II the third day, and saying, "I wonder if the same general had part in each of those wars?" Well, obviously, that's a mishandling of history. How would you handle a book if you wanted to learn something about it? Well, you'd learn what is in each of the chapters, and you'd try to use some order in going through it. That's one of the reasons that when we study the Bible, and in particular when we look at the New Testament, we notice that there are four books that are books of biography that tell us of the life of Christ. We know what to expect when we read those books. There's one book in the New Testament that tells of conversion, how to become a Christian, and tells the history of the church. That's the book of Acts. And so when we read the book of Acts, we know what we're going to be reading about. Also, there are epistles that are written, that is, letters, that are written to congregations, to individuals, that have to do with godly living. And so those are the books of instruction in regard to how to live. If I turn to one of those books, I expect to learn about how to conduct myself before God. And then there's one book in the New Testament, the last book of the New Testament, which is the book of Revelation, and is a book which encouraged people in the first century and is written to be encouragement to those even today in regard to the battle that is fought with Satan. As we overcome with the help of God, we are able to be encouraged, even when it seems like sometimes Satan's winning the battle. So, a proper study of the book of Revelation would help us to be encouraged along those lines. Very frequently, people who want to begin Bible study come and they say to the preacher, "I just can't understand the book of Revelation." Well, the last book they ought to be studying, and I'm not saying don't study it, but the last book that they need to be looking at is the book of Revelation, where they need to begin with principles having to do with the life of Christ and the church and how to live godly, those are the places that they ought to be looking instead of beginning immediately with the most difficult because of the figures and the expressions that are used in the book of Revelation. It's more difficult to understand. The time will come that you can read and understand what is written in that book. But for a person to just become a Christian and then the next thing that he wants to do is to master that book, he somehow or other has not understood or applied Bible teaching in the proper manner. So there must be some method of study. Let me suggest to you that it's important to understand that there are different dispensations dealt with in the Bible. Now, the word dispensation to most people means time. Well, that's not altogether accurate. The word dispensation means the way God dealt with people during different time periods. And so God had different means of dealing with people throughout Bible history. Now, I realize there are some people who would say God never changes, and so he didn't have different dispensations. Well, that simply doesn't fit with Bible teaching. The Bible teaches that there have been and are three different ways of dealing with people that God uses during different times. Let me show you what I'm talking about. First of all, there are three dispensations, the patriarchal, the Jewish, and the Christian dispensation. God does not deal with us the way that he dealt with the patriarchs. Now, if you want a passage that says that, look at the Hebrew letter, and as the writer of the Hebrew letter explains, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now, if I couldn't learn anything else from that passage, I could learn this. God is not speaking the same way today that he did when he used visions, dreams, and spoke directly to people in time gone by. So, during the patriarchal dispensation, God spoke to the fathers, and the fathers were responsible for the worship of the family. The family was led in their worship by their fathers, and God spoke to them directly, as he did to Noah and others who would be an example of this particular means of dealing with God and God dealing with man. All right, we'll get into the Jewish and Christian dispensations tomorrow. I hope you'll be listening, and we remind you that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.